your point is well taken. And he always did everything they asked of him. Look, the thing is, Hurd last year was in a bad engagement, and he shouldn't have gotten married. Coming back here for his third year was like a marriage, and he shouldn't have done that. But
Jaker's exactly right. Kamara's been underutilized.
I mean, I'm talking about Hurd. Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Kamara and Kelly. Kelly not getting out there on the field is another thing. You got to figure out a way to use your guys, just like the Barry kid should get touches on offense, just like Bird should get more touches.
King Johnny could use three running backs when he had Little Man Stewart, Aaron Hayden, and Charlie Garner. I mean, it's not rocket science. I'd say Butch would like to have that offensive line we had then. I bet he would too.
Thank you, Jacardio. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix, well, it's time for me to remind you that one of our sponsors, ladies and gentlemen, on your Smart Way, Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction, is Smart Way. And Smart Way is located at on Kingston Pike, 8416 Kingston Pike, right near my buddy Tom Marine over at Smoothie King. Smart Way, if you go online right now to gosmartway.net and check out the offer, you'll be glad that you did, because right now they're offering you name it, they've got it for you. But let me just tell you what they do when it comes to furniture, appliances, what have you. Smart Way wants to take great care of you. When it comes to home furnishings, for instance, they've got free delivery and setup. They've got 180-day same as cash, and they'll give you 2% back in smart money as well, and you get to pay your own way. You can do a lease purchase. You can buy it outright. You can do up to 180 days same as cash, and they've got convenient pricing, smart pricing, or genius pricing, and you can go online, click, and see their showroom right now. You can get pre-approved for up to $3,000 right now. Go smartwaytn.net online. Go smartwaytn.net online. So whether it's furniture, home and audio and video, appliances, computers, and gaming, cell phones, tires, you name it, they have it. Very compelling afternoon action, guys, taking place right now. What do you make, Dubsy, of the way Pittsburgh, even though Peterman just fumbled, he's playing quite a game for himself against Clemson right now?
Clemson has just had one of those seasons where they play down to the level of competition. They've done it.
Yep.
They've had several close calls. This just feels like a game that they're going to screw around with and eke out in the end. But, you know, that's the difference. Tennessee's played down to the level of competition, but, you know, they've lost some of those close games, whereas Clemson is one of them.
We've seen this before, guys. Teams that walk the tightrope, walk the wire, are going to lose. You're going to lose. You do that enough, you're going to lose. It's just the way it is. Bino, you keep walking that wire, you're going to lose.
Yeah, you can't continue to do that week in, week out, Tony. That's you can get away with it a couple of times a season, but not every outing.
And I think Clemson's already paid the piper. They've had, what, three of these so far?
Louisville.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. NC State had a chip shot field goal to beat them.
Yep.
And the Blewett kid is the reason this thing is not tied, right? Didn't Blewett blow it? I think Blewett blew it. Anyway. That is his name, the kicker from Pittsburgh, and I don't know if I'd want Stephen Blewett kicking.
That is a bad kicker name.
No, that's like Ryan Suckup. Who kicks for who? Who does Suckup kick for?
He's in the NFL now.
The Titans, right?
You got it, brother.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was in the NFL.
865-200-5402 if you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with me now on the program. Butch Jones calling Cam Sutton and Alvin Kamara returning selfless individuals that put the team first. They willed themselves back, Butch Jones said. go back to our phones. Butch Jones, on the injury to TK Jr. And man, how much can one team take? How much can one team take as it's time for another hour here? The 2 hour mark is upon us.
You're listening to the best post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Today's show made possible by the Garza Law Firm. Big Orange fans deserve to have a voice and equal justice under the law.
Before you say guilty, call Garza.
Treating clients like family, online at GarzaLawFirm.com. Now, here's your host, Tony Basilio.
TB back with you. I want to thank my friends at your Garza Law Firm along with Smartway for presenting the action. Tennessee victorious today, 49-36 in a game that really wasn't that close. Kentucky goes down the field and scores a touchdown. Tennessee fellas, for whatever reason, continues to string this season as all lines are currently jammed of not starting football games. Ready to roll. String continues.
I'll give them this. They're consistent.
Oh, there's no question. This team, Bino, this team ain't going to change. They're not jumping out in front of somebody 28-0, Bino. Ain't happening this year.
No, for whatever reason, Tony, this is a team that is not ready out of the locker room.
Yep.
They're mistake prone. They're undisciplined. And all of those things are uncharacteristic of what we had seen in the Butch Jones era for the first three seasons. It's just odd, whatever's going on.
If you want to hit me up.
I mean, we've been good in special teams since he's been here.
Yep.
And it certainly wasn't going to cost us a football game, but, Fab Five Freddy's right. How can a team that's got 75 wide receivers go out there on the hands team and have two linebackers up in the front of that line? Colton Jumper and McDowell. What are they doing there?
Poor McDowell, the ball just goes like right over his head, like it's something out of the Matrix or something.
He looked like the Philly shortstop on that.
Looked like Dorn from Major League. Just
back to the phones we go. Clemson, by the way, now on top, 35-27. So they've stretched it out to a 8-point lead. Back to the phones we go. By the way, if you want to hit me up on Twitter, I'm at Tony Basilio on Twitter. Russell, tell the living listener right now where they can find you.
I'm at Russell the Drive on Twitter, and you can listen to me weekdays from 3 to 6 on Fox Sports Knoxville, 1340 AM here in town, foxsportsknoxville.com.
And you can find Bino Jeff on Twitter. How, Bino?
Bino Jeff, at however that works.
At the Twittersphere.
That's right.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Tennessee, 1-1 on the weekend. An L in hoops, a win today in football. The IGYV is alive and well. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Smartway. Garza Law Firm. Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello and welcome.
Tony, Bino, Brian and Asheville, how you doing?
And Russell.
Hey, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
My bad, y'all.
You're okay, brother. Go right ahead, man, over there in beautiful Asheville.
You know, one thing I noticed was Alabama, you know who doesn't have a coach's show? Right. Alabama. And then everybody else that has one's 30 minutes and then ours is an hour long. I just gotta get the PC stuff out of my system. Appreciate what y'all do, by the way. A good coach. They know football, right? They know schemes. They know offenses. Is our coach, when it works, it works. Can we run another offense? Will we implement another offense based on the people around us? And, you can't control injuries, but any insight on offensive linemen going down because of our hurry up and run another bad play, offensive style?
I'll tell you what, Brian. I've talked with a couple offensive linemen. We do a TV show here in town, at least I do, with the great Tony Robinson. And T, we've had a couple of offensive linemen in there who don't want to speak on the record about this, but we've had several. And we've had a couple people, including, and I've also had somebody in the industry tell me this, who's a coach, that we teach our offensive linemen to catch. So you're not firing off the football old school. You're catching. When you're catching, your momentum is doing what? Dobbs, let's see how good you are.
Well, it's just an inherently
passive
way.
And you're going backwards.
Yeah.
Okay, so backwards. You're going to have guys fall into each other, fall over each other, fall constantly because you're not
rather than taking the fight to the opponent, reacting to what
you're
doing.
You're catching. And that's what they teach. They teach their kids to catch.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes no sense.
I'd rather
pitch.
Right.
It's shocking. So I'm positive. I love beating them and outscoring them. Yep. And when they've got a little bit riding on it, I love beating them. We're all balls for life. But the other thing is about being a good coach. Mm-hmm. Russell just hit on it, playing to the level of your competition. And then if it's not your night, you just get pounded. Like, I mean, South Carolina, Alabama game were a joke, the game plan and mm-hmm. everything. But we all know. We've been on teams, right, Bino? I mean, every once in a while, it's just the nature of the team that does that, and there's nothing you can do. But I would say that's 10 to 20% since we're into individual numbers and percentages. Mostly, that is a motivational, creating a sense of urgency, energy on the sideline, putting backup players in if the guys aren't doing it, and that comes from coaching. So I think I'm positive, and I hear the other callers and all that, but it's all about the way we've done it, what could have been, and the crazy thing, it still can be with the right game plan against Alabama, but you've got to put something on the coaches for the way it's been this year with some of that.
Well,
do you agree?
Oh, I look. I mean, the things that I would have done with this team, I would have had, and by the way, guys, Abernathy was quoted after today's game as saying that Juwan Jennings could be a great player playing both ways. Now, Eric Waddell, would you confirm nor deny that, who is now here with our locker room report momentarily? Would you confirm nor deny that?
I can't confirm that.
Okay. And you're laughing, Brian. Part of a coach's job is to manage that roster. Brian, how long have we been saying that here, that he should be playing both ways?
Oh, just a little while.
And Tyler Bird could be playing both ways.
I mean, you could probably not stop there and just say two or three more guys if you had to.
And you could move one of those safeties up, and you could have bolstered your linebacking core when you were all beat up and put Warrior back there and let him play. Get your athletes on the field. I don't know.
I don't either. That's why they play. But here again, why they play the game is why I'm with you on any. You got to be in it to win it, brother. So we got to get to Atlanta and anything can happen. Anybody that want to say we're going to lose by five touchdowns, haven't been watching Tennessee or college sports for 40 years because you don't know what's going to happen.
We all
know that.
Hey, by the way, who was going to win the election over there in Asheville? Who'd everybody think was going to win the election Tuesday night?
Hey, brother, I'm an island. I'm a man on an island.
Well, I know that.
Over here.
I'm telling you right now, there's not a soul, Donald Trump included, that was involved in that Tuesday that thought he was winning. And the thing is, you got to be in it. You just don't know. Anything can happen in that Georgia Dome. Hey, last time I checked, they've got an 18-year-old quarterback, Russell.
Yeah.
Now, am I wrong?
Well,
they have an 18-year-old quarterback.
The last time we played, I think Abernathy was hurt at that point. They didn't have Cam Sutton.
They had nobody.
Both their offensive tackles were out. Kamara was banged up.
Williams had just quit the team.
You still had Jalen Hurd causing a dissension in the locker room. So it's going to be a different situation.
Yes, it is.
One more thing and I'll get off. I was also on an island there in that game, so I feel like I can talk about it with all the cocks around me. But it's just I don't understand the, you know, East Tennessee or the whoever makes all our personnel, AD and all the different open positions, how you think if anybody does not go the PC route, it would be this university, Tennessee folk. But I just hope we don't fall into that whole deal. It's kind of like, and it's the same thing. It's like a, you know, nuclear codes, not to be political. Well, what's the point of having them if there's no threat? What's the point of having a backup quarterback if you're not going to use them if you don't have to? So I don't think it's so rogue to say, oh, we might put in our backup quarterback for one series, you know, or see what happens. So anyway,
Thank you, brother.
What happens. Let's go beat them and go win the thing.
All right, good talking to you. Bino and Ewad have just joined the fray. Bino, you're fresh on the scene here. And by the way, 865-200-5402, Smartway, Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Would you not agree with me, Ewad, that you would have gotten your backup quarterback in the game there at the end? They got to play him, right?
Yeah, I think so. Also, we were a little bit confused why, you know, we're short on defensive linemen, why you're taking a chance with some of those guys late on the field on defense. You know, we needed to get those bodies off the field.
But were you not a little bit concerned when they get that onside kick? It's like, oh, they score a touchdown. Now it's a two-score game. They get another onside kick. I mean, I wasn't panicking, but there was a part of me at 3 minutes to go. It's like, oh, man, they really need to recover this onside kick.
No, I agree with you on that. But
and at that point, like, you bring in Dormady. Okay, it's great. He gets to run snaps, but he's done that before. It's not like he's going to be throwing it all over the place.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What happens if you get Dobbs hurt there? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
just hand it off.
I mean, you got – yeah, but what happens if you
really
fumble?
Gets hurt? That's
what happens if he does what Howard did last night, who got hurt on
they
routine
fumble?
Play?
That's probably why they wanted to keep Dobbs in there, is they want their senior starter in there because it's a two-score game and they're afraid of losing.
Bino, would you have had your starting quarterback in there at that spot?
No, I would have had Dormady out. But, guys, I've seen seven Tennessee football coaches, and I've never seen one that was very willing to play their second-team quarterback. I don't know why.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, that's another thing. Philip Fulmer did a lot of things right here, but he refused to play a backup. And it's, what's weird about that backup quarterback is whoever the starter is immune from coming out of games. If ever there was an opportunity to do that, it would have been the South Carolina game.
Hmm.
Fulmer one time, what was the one time the game at, somebody help me out here. Was that LSU game, that Monday night game, where they went to the backup? Who was the starter? Was it Ainge the starter?
Ainge took Lawson.
Yeah, Ainge was the starter.
And he was just like kind of dreadful, right? I mean, even he would tell you that. He was kind of dreadful that night. And they brought Clawson in, and didn't they come from like three scores down? They came from way down in that game.
But
yeah, they did.
And they had a great win.
Right.
But what happened the rest of the way? It was a quarterback controversy. It tore the team apart, and they ended up losing to Vanderbilt that game. Had a terrible season. Had to fire a bunch of guys offensively. That's why I said at the South Carolina game, okay, yeah, you can bring Dormady in, but once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't put it back in. You're going to have a quarterback controversy the rest of the way.
So would you rather have that win and deal with it, or would you rather lose the game?
I mean, do you think Dormady would have?
I'm just asking you.
I don't know.
I'm asking you. Bino, how do you answer that? Then you, Ewad. I'd rather get the win.
I think football coaches should adapt and become like baseball coaches with their quarterbacks.
Yep.
I think there's certain days when a guy's just off and you go out there and you take the ball from him and you wave to the bullpen.
Yep.
But Spurrier's the only one that I know that was willing to do that very often.
Yep. And Spurrier coached himself out of games doing that, too. So let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. Ewad, how do you answer that? How would you handle the South Carolina game a couple weeks ago?
I think that at a certain point, I can't tell you the exact moment, but I think I would have taken Dobbs over to the sideline and said, you know, let's try to settle you down, because something's obviously not right with him that night.
Yeah, it's not like baseball where you don't have – I mean, you can re-enter.
Exactly. No, yeah, then that's my point, is you can put him back in, bring him over, have him watch a series or two. Maybe that fires him up. Maybe that settles him down. Whatever was needed, that might have happened. Now, of course, it might not have, but I think at that point, it wasn't like, well, he was miserable. There's no other way to put that.
Could Peterman be the next Vol quarterback transfer to knock somebody out of a national championship position like we saw Brandon Stewart do it to Kansas nice State that year when he beat Michael Bishop, opening the door for the Vols? That'll never be forgotten by this living fan. I was at the team hotel in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, watching it with my then very pregnant wife. And that was 17 and a half years ago, because my kids are 17 now.
That was one of the biggest ones by a Tennessee quarterback ever.
That was awesome. And this is a great call by them inside. I love that call by Pitt. It's beautiful football. They're going to kick the extra point. It's too early right now, guys, with 4:33 left in the third to go chasing points. Who agrees? I agree with that. I agree. Kick the extra point.
Go for it.
Bino, what would you have done?
I don't chase points that early.
Nope.
Especially in a track meet like that one.
Too early, baby. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in, and we're all Nathan Peterman fans tonight. And let's get our next call. And young Bobby Bowden's over there. Doesn't look too happy. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Wait, if he's young Bobby Bowden, what is Hugh Freeze?
Who is?
He's ex-Bobby Bowden. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony? Hey,
yes.
It's Walter from Jeff City, old Keeneland trip.
Keeneland, right? Walter. Keeneland Walter walked up to me. Bino right. will appreciate this, and Ewad will appreciate this. Are you a ponies person, Dubs? Have you ever been up to Keeneland?
I have not.
Hey.
Okay, Walter walks up to me with his little racing sheet, and he goes, now what you want to do is you want to look for one of these races that has about 8 horses in it,
yep.
and you want to play the, what's the 4 thing called? Tell me what that, the exacta.
Well, yeah, no, the 2 things are exacta, the 3 things trifecta, and you get superfecta on the 4.
Superfecta. He said, do you want to get on, you want to get the trifecta here? He said, and here's how this race is going to go. Blank, blank, blank. Okay? Dubsy, I tell everybody in my party after seeing Walter up around, because he was on our bus.
That was a great trip.
It was so much fun. And Walter's, and I go down to my group, because I'm holding court, you know, and I want to, like a reporter, I want to tell everybody, hey, this is what I think is going to happen in this race. So one of the older ladies who was with us, Walter, she ends up coming up to me and giving me a kiss after that thing's over because she's cashing a $200 ticket. She made a bet I wouldn't make.
Well, you got to go up strong.
I went white chips. She went blue chips. That old lady had stones.
That's awesome.
I went home with a consolation prize. Anyway, sorry about that.
Anyway, that's cool. But that was a great trip.
Yeah.
Right now, Georgia's getting ready to take Auburn down.
See that?
Anyway, I'm watching that on TV.
10-7.
I want to tell you this, Tony. So I come down here to Jacksonville, you know, for the Florida game last year and all that stuff, and went to games or whatever. So I came down here to visit a buddy, and we go to a sports bar tonight. This is classic. And I thought about you, and that's the only reason I called in. We go over there, and they've got the Tennessee Watch Party, the alumni. It's called Jerry's Grill, okay? It's on Atlantic Boulevard in Jacksonville Beach, and that's where all the Tennessee fans go.
I know
to
it well.
Watch that. They used to do it down in Ponte Vedra.
I know it well.
And so we go in there. Of course, the Florida game's at 12 o'clock, too, right? And SEC Network's got them both. So we're like the alternate network. All of a sudden, after Florida scores their first or second touchdown, because it's mixed. I mean, it's half and half. The DirecTV thing says, don't call the Florida game. It will come back on, whatever. The Tennessee game's still showing. And so these Florida fans raise hell, and next thing you know, 30 minutes later, the Florida game's still not on. We're sitting there watching the Tennessee game. We're cheering, you know. Tennessee's playing like they're playing. Those people are raising Cain. It was the best thing in the world. They transferred it over to CBS TV late in the third quarter, and all the Florida fans already left. So all the times I've ever come down here or watched a game in Knoxville, been at the games, whatever, it was just like my revenge of all the hell I've ever caught and all this stuff. It was classic.
Go to hell, Florida. We don't care about you. Go to the ACC. Get out of our league. Get out of my face. They have no tradition. Their fan base is a bunch of necks.
Tony, I've got a buddy. He's from Bristol. He and I went to Carson together. He teaches tennis at Amelia. He feeds the bandwagon jumpers. As soon as Florida's playing great, everybody's, Florida's great. And then they roll up their little things every time Florida, fades and stuff. And this was just, it was retribution for every time I've come down here. And we had the most excellent time. And so we're sitting here celebrating our win over Kentucky. And those people are pissed and wanting a refund for whatever. I mean, there's like 100 TVs in this place. And all of them, Florida game went off. I'm talking about after when they got up 14-0, it went off. And all those people had to leave. It was just like Tennessee said, hey, we're going to win this. LSU is going to whip Florida's ass when they play them, and you guys are done. I mean, that's basically what I thought.
Yeah, and it's going to be an outstanding moment for you. If I were you next week, I would go to a place, if you're down there still, or anybody listening to me in the state of Florida, go to a place that's populated by Florida fans, and just get one of our games on one of the TVs with one of their games.
Please. You're exactly right. Keep going.
And go in there and wear your Tennessee gear, and about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock Eastern, look at them and go, "How you like me now?" We'll be up about 30 points, and they'll be heading home with a case of Rice-A-Roni.
I'd be high-fiving you right now if I was close to you, brother.
You better believe it.
Perfect.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate your story. Thank you.
Hey, love it, man.
Thank you. And anybody else listening to us from around the country tonight, call in and tell us about your watch party experience. I love stuff like that. Georgia, guys, is making this thing very interesting. Now, from a Tennessee standpoint, I was kind of wholeheartedly hoping that Auburn can win out and get Alabama in that Iron Bowl. I don't want Auburn to lose this game. Plus, I don't like Georgia. I don't want Georgia having momentum. But then again, I like to cheer for upsets. So what am I rooting for here, guys? Talk to me.
I don't know. I mean, both teams are so despicable. It's hard to decide who you want to lose more.
Auburn's having a hell of a season, though. Now, how does Georgia Beano do this? Explain this to me. How Georgia can lose to Vanderbilt, how Georgia can look so bad against Kentucky last week, and how they're doing this right now. Please explain this to me.
Tony, this is just one of those series. Auburn-Georgia's just one of those series. It's almost always a close football game, and it doesn't seem to matter who has what.
Yeah.
And is Auburn just streaky? I mean, they started out the season looking like crap. They caught fire there for about 4 weeks, and now the past two times we've seen them, they looked awful.
And the other thing is, Georgia has a freshman quarterback who's got gobs of talent.
Yep.
And freshman quarterbacks, they can look absolutely awful, and then you can get a snapshot of what they're going to be. And right now, he must be giving them a snapshot of what he's going to be because they're up in this game.
Albeit only a 10-point game or a 10-point total. Auburn has a very good defense.
I mean, Georgia's still a talented football team.
They're terrible offensive line, and they just had a tackle jump. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Now, one of our Periscopers is telling me that if Auburn loses, that would help Tennessee's case in getting to the Sugar Bowl. Can anybody confirm nor deny that? Does that make any sense to anybody?
Well, I guess the Sugar Bowl gets the first choice after the playoff. So if Tennessee went to the championship and had the second best team in the SEC, essentially, then they would go to the Sugar Bowl. So, yeah, you need...
Even with four losses, though?
With Tennessee?
Yeah.
With four losses?
Two of them are to Alabama. I don't know how much you would count, but... I don't know what that would do. I'll tell you this. If our fan base went to the Sugar Bowl, people would go in droves to get down there and enjoy that.
Can we do the fifth quarter live from Bourbon Street?
You're damn straight. Okay. We go. I'm there. Just got to figure out a way to get that thing paid for.
Of course, the other thing is, this is kind of an unusual year. I mean, the SEC has got... I mean, everybody in the West at least has two losses, including Auburn right now, overall. So it's not like anybody has this stellar record without blemishes. So, I mean, you could at least get in there and fight for it. I don't know if you can get it, but we can at least fight for it.
Did Blankenship just miss a field goal from how long, Dubsy?
It was long. It was just barely short.
Bino, how long was that kick? Any idea? And then we'll go back to the phones.
I do not, Tony. Believe it or not, I flipped over to Vandy and Missouri.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Any kicker that's got eyeglasses like that gets my vote. He's got, like, rec specs on. And let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Don, it's Chad.
Hey, Chad, welcome in, man.
Guys, I was flipping back and forth through the game, watching some South Carolina and Florida, and y'all were talking about it earlier, but, God, I don't know how we lose to that team. They're dreadful.
Well, they were a world beater against us that night, but again, Tennessee, if you want to revisit that game, and a lot of fans will, because it was kind of an unpardonable sin this year in a lot of people's eyes, Tennessee did everything they could to lose that game. They turned Josh Dobbs, and it was Tennessee that did it. It wasn't Carolina. They turned him into a pocket passer. They relied on his arm. They didn't get the ball in space quickly into the hands of their playmakers. They did everything humanly possible to allow South Carolina to hang around in that game and ultimately win it. And the truth is, if we didn't have a kick return, they would have beaten us badly, which is really strange.
Well, and that's why I just have so much frustration with his coaching staff. I'm not wanting anybody fired by any means. I really appreciate what Butch has done. And
right.
After what we've been through since Vollmer left, I definitely don't want to be hunting for a coach.
Right.
But, you know, it brings me to our next thing is, don't you think old Janzik is sitting back kind of laughing a little bit? Because
yes. Well, he is. Let me tell you how I know he is.
He's doing it publicly.
Yeah, first of all, he's doing it. He's deriding them on Twitter. And then I got a notification after that game that he's following me on Twitter.
So did I.
So he's following people that he knows will tell the truth, like Dubsy and myself. And here's the point. I'm not saying anything. I'm not giving up. I'm certainly not here for his entertainment pleasure. I'll tell you that.
Well, I hate to be, you know, I know it's just 1 year. I know there's been tons of injuries, but I recognize bad football and bad angles.
Yes.
And people being out of position. And, Janzik's defense, except, you know, barring that breakdown against Florida overall that last year, that was a better defense. And our guys this year, especially this game, you know, Kentucky, you know what they're going to do. I've watched them play. They can't throw the ball. And we got absolutely, I mean, the score, I'm glad we won, but to have somebody rush 400 yards, I don't care how banged up our defense is, that's embarrassing. And I know we're down at defensive tackle. I know Kirkland's not playing 100% healthy, but you still can be you can take better angles and you can be in better positions. And by God, like you can, I'd love to see us make contain just once this year.
Guys, and that's a great question. There's so many different points of conversation from this team, Bino, and Dobbsy, and Eric. And the question is, oh boy, that's a catch that should have been made there by Auburn. How much of it is injuries? How much of it is scheme? How much of it is internally on that side of the ball, they've got some bad actors. I mean, Congbo's certainly not helping himself. Mike Griffith today had an interesting Twitter, as did our Danny Parker, regarding Congbo's body language on the sidelines. At one point, he was sitting over there without his helmet anywhere near him. He was kind of, Danny painted a picture like he was sort of sulking on the bench. Mike Griffith said that Congbo was over there during the fourth down play and was just all alone. Close the window, come alive, and everything will be all right, Ann Murray / Boss Gags. And so how much of it is some of the above? And then, as somebody has said to me, in kind of an insider type, that this coordinator has that defense too complicated. There is certainly something that's going on. And I think some of it's injury, but it's not all injury, is it? Eric, is it all injury?
I don't know that it is all injury. I mean, when we watch them play, they just don't seem like they're moving intuitively.
Yep.
and
there's a lot of analysis or something, which again, yeah. It's young players.
Right. And when you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, it makes you step slower. I mean, you see it in football and basketball
yep.
in particular.
That's a bad luck for Auburn right there. I mean, bad luck for Georgia. That's a terrible thing that just happened. Walker had a ball hit him in the feet. And that's big trouble in Little China right now for Georgia. They're ahead with 9:13 to go, 10-7. And Auburn's going to have the ball deep. And I mean deep in Georgia territory. Bino, how do you answer that question based on what you've seen? Do you think it's scheme? Is it injury? Is it chemistry? Is it too many young players? Because Kentucky, I thought Kentucky, we talked yesterday on the air, I thought Kentucky would kind of have their way with Tennessee a little bit, but not to that degree. Not to that degree.
No, I didn't expect them to look, like I said, like 90s Nebraska. Tony and Chad, I believe it's injuries. I believe it's scheme. I believe it's poor tackling. And I believe it's inability to convey the message to your players. And I don't know what percentage I would put on each one.
Well, guys, you know, just what it's strange. This season's been so odd to me because we're the most talented we've been since Butch has been here. I know we've had the injuries, but we're the least disciplined, and we value the football less than any of the previous years that Butch has coached. And I don't know. It's just I'm enjoying parts of the football season, but it can be maddening. But before I get off here, guys, hey, Bino, my dad came out and saw you, and he was just he was thrilled to get a chance to go visit with you the other day. I think you guys were down at off Chapman Highway maybe.
We were, Chad. It was great to see Steve. Tony and I appreciate him coming by. It's always great to see him.
Yeah, in fact, Ewad, let me have your coffee cup and I'll show him where we were. We were, ladies and gentlemen, at your Kenjo. And, I want to thank them for their sponsorship. And it was outstanding. And somebody on Periscope, we got a tough crowd, says, who cares? Chad, they're hating on you. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, that with your show, hey, at some point you're going to get hated on when you call your show.
Interesting.
I've learned that.
Thank you, Chad.
And it was probably one of Chad or my relatives that did it anyway.
Great talking to you.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you. It's probably Bino's better half on here, hazing him on Periscope. Who cares? Ewad, go inside the locker room for me or give me some numbers from today's game that you thought were interesting. Presented by our friends at your Garza Law Firm. And by the way, let's reload the phone lines at 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. We're only 2 hours and 40 minutes into our excursion today, and we have not taken a commercial break, nor do we. And I want to encourage you to please spread the word on what we do here on the app. As soon as your UT football game goes final, we're here for you. And for some of the big college basketball games as well, this season we'll be with you as events unfold. Now, did they give the ball back to Georgia? What just happened there, guys? Talk to me.
Well, they called running into the halo
violation. Oh, a halo violation. All right. Garza Law Firm, ladies and gentlemen. Treating clients like family. Marcos, my main man, online at GarzaLaw.com. Whether it's personal injury, whether it's criminal defense, or anything else that could happen to you in this messy world we live in, go to Garza. Marcos Garza is your go-to attorney. The man is a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. And he is an awesome, awesome man. And very good at what he does. Continues his education, continues to get educated. Marcos Garza has got your six. And you know what that means, right, Ewad? You know what got your six means?
Got your back.
That's exactly right. He's standing in the 6 o'clock position. GarzaLaw.com. Georgia is now moving the football up around midfield. Looked like they were going to have a turnover there. We went away for the commercial break. Vernon Gary will be in Knoxville next week. It is 6:38 Eastern. They're not going to know what to do themselves. This game here, that white kid, by the way, guys, you want to see his line?
Ooh.
From Auburn. Wow, that's nasty. He's a great athlete, isn't he? Sean White, guys, you ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
He is a he's got a great game going, Bean Story. He's 4 out of 17 for 19 yards.
Oh, he's going full Crompton.
Yes.
You know, he was the biggest difference in, right. in their offense earlier when they were playing well.
He's the only reason they beat Vanderbilt last week.
Yeah, he's pretty much reverted tonight, just having one of those nights.
He's an enigma, as we say in the trade. Right,
hey, I got your six is also what opposing running backs say when they call their number in the huddle and they know they're running against our defense.
That's ignorant.
Wow.
Except inside the 20s, guys. We stiffened.
Yep.
That's where it counts.
That was the difference in the game, was Tennessee was able to get four stops inside the red zone, and they had a sudden turnaround stop too when Josh Smith made the ill-advised play on the punt, and they came out and stopped them there too. So those were big parts of the game, even though they gave up so many yards.
Red zone was the dead zone tonight for the Georgia Bulldogs or for the Kentucky Wildcats. They were in our red zone, guys, six times. How many points do you think they got? Six trips inside the red zone.
Nine.
They came out with 23 total points, but they were in there six times.
But two of the touchdowns were long runs.
That's correct.
They scored a touchdown late.
One late touchdown. And the rest were field goals.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Four field goals and a... Go ahead, Ewad. Give me something interesting, and then we'll go back to the phones.
I'm going to call out a guy whose name we... I don't know when or if I've ever spoken about him.
All right.
LaTroy Lewis.
Yeah.
Fifth-year senior.
Yep.
Who is really had a nice night tonight. Mm-hmm. Had seven tackles.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he had a fumble recovery, mm-hmm. Tackle and a half for loss.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing inside at defensive tackle now. He's usually been an end.
Mm-hmm.
But so he's an undersized defensive tackle just because that's all they've got left.
Like we've seen some guys do here in the past.
Like Kongbo should
they
be
talked
doing,
about him sliding inside.
To do.
Right. Poor so, Kongbo.
So, yeah, I just want to give that guy some credit because he's gotten an opportunity. And he's actually, he really stood up today. And again, statistically an awful day for the defense, but I would definitely give him a bright spot, for his effort. I mean, he found the ball when a lot of other people weren't, so.
Congratulations to, LaTroy Lewis, who, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, is Ewad's Say It, Know It, and Write It Down. Performance Medicine, top performer of the game.
Performance Medicine, top performer of the game. Presented by Performance Medicine. Performance.
All right, Bino, you're giving this out.
Performance Medicine. You can find it online at performancemedicine.net. And now, here's the Performance Medicine, top performer of the game.
Dr. Tom Rogers and Performance Medicine present tonight's top performer of the game. Bino, what you got? Talk to me. Who's your top performer of the game?
I know that Russell gave Joshua Dobbs an award earlier in the show. I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara, who came back from injury. And matter of fact, at one point in the game, I texted you and said that Kelly needed to be our go-to back this game. And
yep.
then Kamara just started lighting him up and shut me up. So he is. I'll give it to Alvin Kamara.
He lit him up like the Godfather. Kamara on the game tonight. Had 10 carries, that's it, 128 yards, long of 39, two touchdowns, 12.8 yards, and as if that wasn't enough, had no receptions. Back to the phones. Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402, Mizzou. Looks like they're putting the finishing touches. Bino on Vandy is still looking at that one.
Now I'm on Georgia and Auburn, Tony.
Meanwhile, Chubb is driving. It is a personal crusade of Nick Chubb to get into the end zone. I mean, what in the world? And Auburn right now, they are Chubby chasers.
Yeah, Georgia's got
Stop it.
First and goal inside the five. They score a touchdown here. This is game over.
Game over. Who would have saw this? And this is going to take the air out of my balloon a little bit because I wanted Auburn down in Atlanta in the IGYV. I want Auburn in Atlanta. Time for that defense to stiffen.
I mean, if this is the way they're playing in November, they have no chance against Alabama anyway. So
back to the phones we go. They're chasing Chubb all over the field right now. Chubb is doing it. Chubb is getting it done.
Bless Michigan can do it, guys. Nobody's beating the Red Army.
Nope. The Soviet Red Army. Let's go back. They have everything but Larry on off. They ought to bring Vladislav Tretiak back and let him flip throw the coin up in the national championship game. Because Alabama is pure NWO. Pure NWO. To the phones. Let's go to our phones, get our next call in. 2:42 to go in that game. And Georgia with the ball way down there. Second down and goal. And on like the, what is it, like the 4-yard line or whatever as they go to the break. This is a real critical spot here. Kirby Dumb might get himself a SIG win. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tone, Scott, how are you?
Hey, Scott, is it?
Yeah.
Guy, I've got a brother named Guy. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Great name.
Good talking to you tonight. A lot better than a couple weeks ago when I called in. Yeah, I was thinking your previous caller just brought up an interesting point, something I've been thinking about, talking about, the penalties, the lack of ball security, the being so slow getting out of the gate. Is Butch kind of like one of our previous beloved basketball coaches that he does less with more talent and more with less talent?
Bino, your thoughts on that?
Tony and I talked about this before the season started, that this was going to be the first time that anybody had seen Butch Jones have a fourth team in a tenure. And this is just a guess on my part. I'm wondering if all of his gimmicks work a whole lot better with younger players than they do veteran players. And that's just a total guess on my part. But focus has been a problem with this team, and it hasn't been up until now.
Well, and I think his gimmicks work pretty well against crappy defenses, and against good SEC defenses, they don't work very well.
I was talking more about motivational and focus standpoint and discipline standpoint, listening to him standpoint.
When you say that the offense doesn't work, nothing works against Alabama, right? I mean, that's true. There's
a lot of people not doing anything against Alabama.
Like nobody. Not only a whole lot of people, nobody this year has done anything against it. Look at the numbers. Nobody. So early in the game, Ole Miss has some success against them, but they shut the door on that deal.
Arkansas is about the only one that threw and ran on them and still got killed.
Yeah, and last year Clemson did because Clemson has, like Alabama, a different class of athlete on their offense.
Well, Tony, I emailed you about a month ago, and
uh-huh.
I asked you, I threw a hypothetical your way. I said, and this is before we lost to South Carolina, obviously. I said, how are you going to feel if we lose another game to a team we obviously should not, but Florida loses two more, which it kind of looks like they're set up to do, and we go to the SEC championship. How do you feel about our season?
Thrilled.
Looks like that's going to come to fruition.
I'm thrilled about that season.
Well, I can't say I'm thrilled. I guess it's better than not going, but I can't say I'm thrilled.
Yeah, look, I'm not as happy as I would have been, but I'm a perspective
person. The problem is, tells us that he got us to the SEC East, the title, and so he doesn't make any changes at the end of the year. That's what's going to happen.
That's going to be really interesting because a game of chicken's going to be played. I'm going to tell you something, guys. If David Blackburn gets that job, and it's a big if right now, but if he does, a game of chicken is going to be played because Butch Jones is letting it know through certain circles. Well, people aren't nice to me, whatever it is. Blackburn's going to have to go, look, man, we're going to help you. We're going to help you.
You know what would really
we're going to save you from yourself.
Anything.
What's that?
Honest to God, I would, if it was up to me and I was the athletic director, I would hire Bud Ford as a special consultant.
No doubt about
to
that.
Butch Jones.
He needs an adult. And I love that Robinson guy. He's
yeah,
a great,
not,
great kid.
Believe me, I'm not saying that.
No,
he's shot.
He needs somebody that he needs somebody to look at him and go, don't. Bino, what's your phrase? What's he doing on those Monday deals, Bino, when we're sitting together? Bino's got a phrase for this.
I'm sorry, Tony. He's
you said me. He walks in with the wounds or something. You have such a great way of putting
it.
Oh,
I mean, it was... There have been so many times when he needed to show up with an ambulance in that post-game show because our program's laying there with a gaping wound, and he comes driving a salt truck in there.
And that's what he does. And our caller here who's upset with him, see, here's what I'm doing, and I'm not going to tell you guys how to think. I'm not telling anybody listening to me how to think. I'm not, because I'm not that person. But I'm going to tell you what I do. What I do is I'm looking at this thing and trying to keep perspective about it. Been a ton of injuries. Tennessee's one game different than I thought they'd be right now. One game. Still on track if things go accordingly. LSU will be a favorite next week. A heavy favorite? I don't know. They'll be favorite next week to beat Florida. What do you guys think? How many points? 4 or 5 down there?
That's about what I say.
7.
4, 5, 6, 7.
Game.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Not like it would be at night, right? I mean, we all agree there. Florida can't play.
Well, it depends on what happens between LSU and Arkansas tonight.
Probably.
LSU hammers them.
Probably.
They could be a bigger favorite.
Probably. Although LSU, with that quarterback, they're not hammering anybody. They have Sean White at quarterback. So the point is that, you know, I look at the season on the whole, and that's how I started today's show. Was not going to be, I just said this, it's not going to be we're going to beat on the defense all day and talk about all the things we didn't do. Today's show is going to be about this. Tennessee is 120 minutes of football away from going back to Atlanta. And damn it, that's pretty much worth celebrating after what we've been through. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to think. And look, because I appreciate you. I appreciate you being in this audience. I appreciate you emailing me. I appreciate you calling right now. I appreciate your level of intelligence in presenting your point. I'm just telling you, I know that Rick Barnes basketball is going to be the drizzling shits this winter, and I'm going to enjoy this. I'm sorry, because I know what's coming. We're getting ready to have a nuclear winter of basketball. That team I saw on the court last night will be lucky to win 10 games. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're bad.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And by the way, Holly Warlick's team, they had to, like, dogfight to beat, who was it? James Madison. I mean, the last time I checked,
really
Dolly, well, that's what I'm saying. I know you don't, but I'm just saying, that's the winner we're about to have here.
It's true.
So.
Well, I just hope something happens that we can have a little promise and get excited about next year, whatever happens this year, because I just don't see this staff taking this entire staff. I'm not hollering to fire Butch, but there needs to be some changes. I don't see this complete staff taking us to the next level.
Yeah.
Well, I believe if what you're saying occurs,
yep,
and Butch just stubbornly refuses to recognize that we need to make some changes,
right,
he's basically going to give this job away. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, he is. Yep. Thank you.
Tony, on the way out, do you know if John... his garage had padded walls, because I may need one of those later on.
Thank you, brother. I think we all do. I like old John. John, if you're listening, you made the first several segments of this show exciting and fun on your smart way. Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Send me the coordinates. Let's go to John's and hang out with him tonight, as somebody sang. 6-point game, guys. Can Auburn get the ball down the field here with this quarterback?
They're down by 6. Obviously, they have to score a touchdown to win. Sean White dumped it off to his running back for about a 4-yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
It was his first completion of the second half. Auburn has had 6 possessions, all 3 and outs in the second half.
They look like Florida, like that thing Florida did. I think Florida had like 7 in a row against us, didn't they, when we blew that game open?
They haven't gotten a first down yet in the second half.
Wow.
And they took about an unbelievable amount of time just to run 2 plays that got 6 yards.
Bino, your point.
Dreadful.
Bino, your point about Butch Jones is going to be very interesting. Because here's what's going to happen. I've seen this script. Tennessee is going to rip Missouri next week. And I think they're going to pop Vandy pretty good, because I think there's going to be something on the line for that. And then I think they're going to turn around, and they're going to go to a... They're going to struggle against Alabama and lose. And then they're going to be matched against somebody in a bowl game they're superior to based on being 9-4. They're going to fall into a bowl game that's, you know, not the Sugar Bowl. I wish it was the Sugar Bowl. And White is the absolute drizzles. And it's 13-7.
Georgia Bowl.
And Georgia going to win the game.
How about that?
Honestly, you were talking about bowls. I think our realistic top goal
right.
is to go to Orlando in the Citrus Bowl, which I know we used to make fun of that.
Right.
And Steve Spurrier used to love to beat us over the head with that.
Right.
But considering the wilderness we've been wandering through,
I would take it. It fits in line
with the whole Butch Jones getting incrementally better each year. You know, you were in the freaking Tax Slayer Bowl 2 years ago. You go to the Outback Bowl last year, and you go to the Citrus Bowl this year. I mean, that would kind of fit in line with the progression.
Not the step we wanted. Yeah.
Somebody on Periscope just asked me if I would Trey Smith be coming here if Butch Jones was leaving. Wait a second here. I never said Butch Jones was leaving. I've never said that. But let's say this. No coach tells any recruits, or any players for that matter, what they're going to do. That's never happened. A coach has never left. There have been coaches who have left teams who have told them the night before, I'm staying with you. In fact, didn't Butch Jones do that at Cincinnati?
He never quit recruiting until the moment he quit recruiting.
What does that mean?
He never quit recruiting until he quit recruiting for Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
So my point is, he's recruiting for
Cincinnati in the morning, recruiting for Tennessee in the evening.
I'm of the opinion that Butch Jones is weird enough that he would walk out of here. And he is weird. Now, he does work hard. But he's weird. Go to the phones. 865-200-5402. How about that, guys? How about that game by Auburn? How mad do you think their fan base is right now?
Oh, man.
Out of their minds.
And you know what? When you don't have a quarterback, there ain't no hiding it. That comes back and gets you eventually.
So this is their third loss of the season?
Yeah, they're 7-3.
If Bama puts it on them and they finish 8-4...
We're going to the Sugar Bowl.
Is the Gus Bus empty at that point?
I don't know. See, again, he could have been coach of the century and fired. All this coach worship nonsense is insane to me.
He started off on sound footing, was on the hot seat by end of September, was squarely off it 2 weeks ago, and now he's back on.
Let's go to the phones and get our next call in. And let's get our next call. Hello and welcome in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
Mariano here.
Hey, Mariano. Welcome in, man.
Tony, have you ever seen worse defensive football than we saw today? Ever? Vino?
Here, maybe 1988, when it was spinning on us. We were pretty bad defensively in 88. But outside of that, maybe Sal Cincere, truthfully. I
mean, Troy put up 700 yards of total offense in Neyland Stadium. Yeah, we've seen worse.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, as far as rushing, though, against, I don't know. I mean, fundamentally, we are just so horrid that it's, you know, it's not even worth it.
I don't believe a one-dimensional football team has ever done as much damage.
I agree. Just a so-so one-dimensional football team, too. I mean, that's just being truthful about the matter. You know, after this week of politics and what we've seen happen and everything, and I'm not trying to make a political statement, but it seems like that we have a coach that's telling us everything's fine, we're going to win, and then he gets a lot of the, I guess his so-called media friends to ease off or to, you know, not be critical and say, yeah, we believe too, yeah, they're going to be okay. And then you have what happened on Tuesday night eventually. You know, that was just some of the ugliest football guys I've ever seen on the defensive side. Now offensively, you know, you just don't really, I mean, they played well, but you just don't know. You know, we keep talking, everybody talks about Tennessee's injuries. Well, Kentucky had people going down left and right. I mean, during the game. I mean, you know, it's not only Tennessee that's injured. They can't use that excuse against Kentucky. I mean, I saw guys, you know, six, seven guys go to the sideline. They lost their big play threat on offense in the passing game, which was really, I think, you know,